Well, good morning and happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. Great. I heard about a student this week who was asked in school to write down something that he was thankful for. And he wrote down, "I'm thankful that I'm not a turkey." And smart kid. What are you thankful for today? We've heard some joys and concerns. Just in a word or two, what's something you're thankful for? Lisa.
Family and friends.
Family and friends. You stole everyone else's. Jill.
Hot and cold running water.
Hot and cold running water. Great. Phil.
Healing.
Healing. What's he thankful for today? Marilyn.
Health.
Thank God for health. Cheryl.
Great job.
A great job. Very good. Carol Jean.
Sparkling sunshine.
Very good. Give thanks. Judy. This church. We give thanks for this church. What's this one, Rolf? A good life. Thank God for a good life. Well, today, as you know, is the last Sunday in our sermon series on stewardship. And along with these things that we give thanks for, maybe you also give thanks that this is the end of our sermon series on stewardship. It's been a month or so of talking about faith and finance and finding out what Jesus says about money. But we're going to take one more look at it today. We're going to try and find out what God has in store for us as we consider one more story about Jesus. This time, the offering given by the widow and how we can understand this for our lives. We pray with me. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us this morning. Give us ears to hear, and Lord, give me your word to speak. Amen. Amen. Have you ever heard of a movie called Office Space? Do you know this movie? Office Space. It came out in the 1990s. If you've seen it, you know that it's a great movie, and I commend it to you. But in the movie, Jennifer Aniston's character is Joanna. She's a young gal working as a waitress in Tchotchke's restaurant in the movie. Tchotchke's. It's kind of like a Chevy's or maybe TGI Fridays, something like that. And all the employees at Tchotchke's have been directed that, along with their usual uniforms as waitresses or waiters, they also have to wear 15 pieces of flair. Flair. What is flair? Flair, in the movie, it turns out, is any kind of little buttons with funny sayings on them, or rainbow suspenders, or a twirly hat. All of those count as pieces of flair. And so 15 is what they have to do, and Joanna, this character, she wears the required 15 pieces of flair. While her bubbly, overly caffeinated coworker Brian wears 37 pieces of flair. And there's one scene where Joanna's boss comes to her and says, "Joanna, we need to talk about your flair, or lack thereof." And he asks her, "Joanna, what do you think of a person who does just the bare minimum?" And this really sets her off. She says, "What do I think? What do I think? I'll tell you what I think. If you want me to wear 37 pieces of flair like your pretty boy Brian over here, then make the minimum 37 pieces of flair, and I'll wear it." And her boss says, "Well, Joanna, I just want you to express yourself. Don't you want to express yourself?" She says, "I'll show you express myself." And with a certain hand gesture, she does. She takes off her apron, storms out of the restaurant. And in a way, although Joanna is wearing only 15 pieces of flair, the bare minimum, which isn't maybe so great, we can still feel for her plight, can't we? You see, she figures that she's doing what she's supposed to do. She's following the rules. But then she gets compared to Mr. Super Employee Brian over there, and suddenly 15 pieces of flair doesn't seem so great. It seems that the target has been moved. The goalposts pushed back, and she's left wondering, well, how much flair should I wear? And you may be surprised to know this morning that this question is the very same question that our Bible story is prompting us to ask. It's phrased a little bit differently, for sure, but essentially it's the same. How much flair should I wear? According to Luke, Jesus was in the temple, and people were coming forward with their gifts. He saw there many rich people bringing their offering and putting these gifts into the treasury. And these were people who had great wealth. So the great sums, so the money they were bringing was in great sums. Huge pledge cards, if you will. And they were giving it back to God. And in bringing these large offerings, these rich folks were bringing maybe even 10% of what they owned, of what they had, of their income. These well-heeled folks were doing their religious duty. The Old Testament standard for giving, you remember, was 10%. And perhaps the gifts that these were putting, that these rich people were putting in were so large because they were meeting this 10% standard. But then along with these affluent people who were dutifully bringing their gifts forward came another. She's described as a poor widow. And in a sense, this is a doubly vulnerable status in biblical times. Not only was she lacking in family, she was also lacking in funds. And the contrast of these of the status is explicit. In the midst of these well-off people giving their mandated 10%, comes this poor widow, and she gives 100%. All that she has to live on, and it's just 2 copper coins. And Jesus says, this woman has given more than all of the rich people gave. And in hearing this story this morning, maybe you're wondering, well, how much flair do I have to wear? What is the standard for giving that I ought to follow? Because these rich guys seem to be faithfully doing what was required. And then this widow comes along and seems to set a whole new standard. So one question that this story raises is, what does it take to be right with God in terms of giving? What is the law? What is the rule that needs to be followed? One rule that I follow is turning off my cell phone before worship. But just so what is the rule to be followed in terms of giving to God? And in the Old Testament, one of the standards for being faithful to God, you'll remember, was circumcision. Right? The sign of circumcision. All Israelite boys were circumcised the 8th day after they were born. A practice that continued from the time of Abraham to the time of Jesus, and is still practiced today. This practice of circumcision is, in a sense, the law. It's what is required for the Jewish people. But along with this standard practice, there's another directive from God that comes alongside it. In the Old Testament books of Deuteronomy and Jeremiah, God calls not only for circumcision, but circumcision of the heart. This means that God wants not just the outward sign, but the inward intention. And so it is with our story from Luke. The rich people were living up to the standard and very faithfully contributing to God's work. But in light of what Jesus says about the widow's offering, it doesn't seem like this is enough. See, this isn't about percentages or numbers. If you're looking for the minimum number of pieces of flair to wear, I can't tell you. But what I will tell you is this. The widow's offering was exceptional when compared to the mandatory amounts that were given by others, because it was sacrificial and it was from the heart. This story is not trying to set a new standard in terms of giving, percentages or amounts, 10%, 100%, pre-tax, post-tax, anything like that. Instead, it is pointing to giving as a sacrifice from the heart. This is opposed to a mere religious duty or obligation. Whether it's circumcision or financial giving, God is not only interested in the outward action, but also in the heart that prompts it. And this story of the widow was put into relief for me this week, put into focus. Many of you are familiar with Camp Street Ministries, which is a food and clothing pantry that's located right here in our neighborhood, just down the road. Camp Street's a place where the food we collect in that basket in the back goes every week. Camp Street is a place where Caldy Shire volunteers faithfully every week. And this Thanksgiving week, Pastor Chris coordinated a number of people from our congregation to go and spend some time making Thanksgiving baskets and distributing them. These were essentially boxes full of food, including a full turkey. And while we were there at one point, a little electric jolt went through the place full of volunteers. Sort of whispers were coming, "The mayor is coming. The mayor is coming. The mayor of Providence." And you look outside and there's a news van and a very nicely dressed publicist from City Hall adjusting the tie and getting ready. And people were, and the excitement built and built until finally in walked the mayor with a box full of food. "Happy Thanksgiving," he said. "Happy Thanksgiving, Mr. Mayor." And he brought the food in and put it down on a pew right there in that church. And he went outside and he got another box and brought it in and put it on the pew. And as he was doing this, someone asked, "Do you need a hand with that?" And in his nicely pressed suit, he said, "Oh no, this is my exercise for the day." So he kept going, bringing these boxes of food in. And the ABC 6 news cameras were rolling. And photo bulbs were popping, catching every moment of this great deed. He took some photo ops with volunteers and with staff. And was on his way. He had brought in 20 or 25 boxes of turkey and stuffing and all kinds of things. It was sure to help a lot of people. He probably felt good having done it. And then after he left, after things had quieted down a bit, and I guess the news van went on to the next spot, no cameras were rolling, no photos were being taken, and then a woman came to the door holding a single turkey. She said, "I want to donate this." And she handed it over. Compared to all that the mayor had done, all that he had brought in, this one turkey didn't seem to matter for much compared to all the rest. But that was it. She walked away. The bird went in a box. And the next hungry person through the door picked it up and took it home. So I wonder about this question of faith and finances in light of what Jesus has said regarding this old widow and her two copper coins. Like Joanna in that movie, we want to be faithful and follow the rules. We want to be rich toward God, not to worry, and all of that. But what is the standard? How do we know that we're on the right track? And today is Pledge Sunday. Finally, the end of our journey through stewardship season. In a few minutes, you're going to have a chance, like those people in Bible times, to bring your pledges forward, to bring an offering forward, and right into this basket here in front. And I know that many of us have considered our finances and are ready to make a pledge this morning. And for some, those pledges can only be described as rich. And others will come forward today with a much more modest pledge. And I know there are still others whose finances are in flux, and it seems impossible to make a financial projection into the future of this year, and you will be able to give only prayers or hopes this day. And in the end, it's not about big pledges or small ones, about 20 turkeys, or just one. Our response to God's gifts to us are not about numbers or percentages. The rule to follow or the law to obey is not the final word. Instead of that, God wants our hearts. Giving from the heart is what is acceptable to God. So God bless you as you consider your finances in light of your faith. It's not easy. But get it right with God. Be at peace with your decision. And then live in the knowledge that God's grace and love for you are abundant and overflowing. Amen.